Thank you very much, Mr. Park. And as I have said most nights throughout this week, I would like to give a special thanks, a very special thanks, to all of the boys and girls who attended the meetings. And up in my home church, in the Martyrs Memorial up in Belfast, people have been asking how the mission has been going. And I have said two things: that the attendance was very good, and that the attention was excellent. I was very impressed at how well the boys and girls listen. And I'm sure tonight's not going to be any different, but I would just like to put it on record, my sincere thanks to all of the boys and girls who listened so well to the stories throughout the week. Now, most stories throughout the week, we had perhaps something that we could show you, or something that perhaps would help you understand the story. Tonight, I'm just going to tell you the story. That's all. Nothing to show you. No fancy flashcards or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you the story. And I want you to sit and listen as best as you possibly can. For the mums and dads as well, it's really good to see you here tonight. We appreciate you coming. And we would like that you would also listen carefully to the words that we have before us this evening. I drove into the car park earlier on tonight, and I sat in the car for a few moments, and then Mr. Park approached the car. We exchanged pleasantries and talked about the weather and all sorts of things. And then Mr. Park said, "It's your choice. It's your choice. You can stay in the pulpit, or you can come down to the front to do the story tonight. But it's your choice." And that's exactly what we're going to speak on tonight. The people's choice. The people's choice. And perhaps you don't realize it, but already today, you perhaps have made hundreds of choices. I was thinking about this on the way down this evening, and probably the first choice that all of us made today was if the alarm clock went off, or if you just naturally woke up, you had a choice to make. Will I lie on for another 5 or 10 minutes? Or will I get up? That was probably the first choice of today. Then you had other choices, a multitude of other choices throughout today. Breakfast, will it be porridge or toast, or maybe both? If you were heading out to church after your breakfast, the ladies probably, will it be this outfit, that outfit, this hat, the other hat? With the men, it might have been a little bit more simple. Will it be this tie, that shirt? But choices, choices have to be made all the time, every day. Perhaps even just an hour or so ago, mums and dads, you were perhaps even thinking, will I go to the meeting tonight or will I not? We're glad you did. So choices have to be made. I want to draw your attention tonight to a choice that a large group of people made in the New Testament. Just want to read you two verses from the book of John and the chapter 18. The last two verses. If there's a Bible in your pew, or if you have a Bible with you, take time to turn up John chapter 18. And the last two verses of that chapter. And it's Pilate speaking. And Pilate says these words, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you that I therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas." Different choices. This is a vital choice that was made on that day. And I want to draw your attention, as I've said, to the verse number 40 of this chapter this evening. And the verse number 40, it's an answer to the question that we've already looked at. It's an answer to the question that Pilate put in the verse 39. "Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" And the scripture records for us tonight the words, "Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas." Then the Holy Ghost adds for us these words, "Now Barabbas was a robber." The day that this question was asked, and the day that this answer was given, this was to be the day when wicked men with cruel, wicked, sinful hands would take the Lord Jesus Christ and they would crucify him upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has been brought before Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pilate then is standing on the steps of the judgment hall at Jerusalem. And on that day, it was filled with angry Jews. They were a restless and a noisy crowd. And so inside this judgment hall, the prisoners stood, each of them with their hands bound. And among those prisoners was Barabbas, a robber. That's what we've read tonight. The people chose Barabbas, and the Holy Ghost tells us that he was a robber. So on that night, the people had the choice of Barabbas, the robber, or the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And from the passage of Scripture that we've read tonight, we see that Pilate was determined to get this crowd of people in this courtyard, the judgment hall. He was trying his best to get them to agree with him and release the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's clearly recorded for us in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 18. And in Mark chapter 15 and the verse 10, it tells us that Pilate already knew in the depths of his heart that for envy, the people had delivered the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. Pilate himself indeed said, "I find in him no fault at all." And so all of this week, in the youth challenge for the older ones and for the younger ones, We've been telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Pilate said of him, and we've been teaching you this week, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's no fault in him. And we've been encouraging boys and girls to be saved, to come to the one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And so on that day, Pilate makes one of the greatest appeals of his life. He said to the people, "Will ye, therefore, that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Just imagine standing in that crowd on that day, in that courtyard, and that question has been put to you, "Will ye, therefore, that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" And upon hearing this question, this angry crowd of Jews suddenly went ablaze. And the Holy Ghost records their response. I hope it's not your response tonight. But the Holy Ghost records for us their response. And it says, "Then cried they all." Every one of them. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every young person, every old person, the priests and the people, all of them. "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man. We don't want him. We will not have him. Not this man, but Barabbas." And so on that day, in that place, in that way, this people, as I've said, they chose the robber and rejected the Redeemer. We want to look tonight very briefly at the people's choice. You will find indeed all throughout Scripture, men and women and boys and girls are faced with many, many choices. And so it is tonight, mums and dads, normal attenders at this service, again, you're faced with a choice. You're faced with a choice, and so for you, is it going to be the robber or the Redeemer? You'll remember the choice that Moses made. In Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 24, we read, By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a choice. What a choice he made that day, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. What a choice that was. This was a deciding moment in the life of Moses. And there are those in this meeting tonight who can remember the moment in your life, whether young or old. There are young boys and girls amongst us tonight that are saved. And you can remember the moment when you chose to take your stand with the people of God. That was the choice. That was the good choice that Moses made. Come a little further in the Old Testament and you'll also see the choice that a lady called Ruth made. Ruth was a young widow. She was a Moabite. She lived in Moab. She worshipped idols. She had married a young man, and he had died, and she's now a widow. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, was going back to her God, back to the land where the true God was worshipped. Naomi was going back to the land of Judah. And now comes a time in the life of Ruth for a choice to be made. Behind her lies the old paths, the old ways, the old idols, the old sins, and everything that was old and done. The old sins, the old life. But before her lies the new land, a new people with the living God. A choice has to be made. Now I want you to listen carefully to what Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1 and the verse 16. And these are the words of Ruth. Ruth said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." And so Ruth, she made a choice. A great moment in Ruth's life, the day of her choice. Think also for a moment on the choice that Abraham and Lot had to make. These two men, they had journeyed together for a long time, and they came to the time when the land was not able to bear them both. Their flocks and their herds grew so great that the land wasn't able to bear for them. And we read in Genesis chapter 13 and the verse 7, there was a strife, an argument between these two men. There was a strife between these two men and their herdsmen. And in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8, we read these words, "Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes. In verse 11 it says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan." Verse 12 says, "He pitched his tent towards Sodom." Lot's choice, the verse says, he lifted up his eyes. Lot's choice was made by sight. He was looking to his own understanding. He was calculating the number of cattle that the land of Jordan would bear. Moses, he made his choice by faith. Lot made his choice by sight. And oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference there is. Lot, down in Sodom, and there the Bible tells us that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. It was down in Sodom his wife lost her life. And I'm afraid she lost her soul. Lot's choice was a poor choice. Unsaved mom and dad, unsaved, perhaps regular attender at these services. Tonight, you're in danger of making a poor choice, and it would not be our prayer that you will not make that poor choice. So the Bible has many more examples of choices that needed to be made. We're looking tonight at the choice this angry crowd of Jews made. It was a choice between two persons. Is it to be the redeemer, or is it to be the robber? And still this question, this decision, goes on all the way through history and all through life, all the time. And it's a choice you're going to have to make tonight. You might say to me, well, you might say that it's a choice I have to make tonight, but I'll leave it. I'll not bother making the choice. Perhaps if you've been in meetings, I can remember being in meetings where this sort of thing was spoken about, and the preacher would always say that you might decide, well, no, I'm not gonna make a decision tonight. The moment you walk out this door, you've made your decision. You've left this meeting tonight when you've been challenged with the gospel, and you've made your decision when you go out through this door and you've thought, well, no. Or you might have made your decision for Christ and go out a different person. A couple of times throughout this week, I was struck as Philip was leading the courses, and I've already made reference to this in the kids' meetings. When you trust Christ, and Philip said this on Monday night, when you trust Christ, it'll change your life. It will change your life. One of the hymns in our hymn books tells us what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. So we're asking the question, is God halting you on your path of life? Have there been those times when God demands to know your choice? John chapter 18 and the verse 40, not this man, the people said. Let's ask that question, ourselves this question tonight. They said, not this man. So who is this man? This man standing in the judgment hall, standing with his hands bound. Who is this man? Well, he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who John the Baptist in the River Jordan, as he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the heavens opened and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So who is this man? This man is the beloved Son of God. You will remember on another occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple, there was a man there possessed, the Bible tells us, with the demons. And this is what they said. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Yes, who is this man? Well, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is the Holy One of God. You'll remember the day also that we read about in Scripture when the Lord was crucified. And the centurion, the Roman officer standing at the foot of the cross, he looked up at the Savior and he cried at the top of his voice these words, truly, this man was the Son of God. Can you see it tonight? That in those three incidents that we've brought to your attention tonight, that heaven and earth and hell are all united. That this man, that this crowd rejected, he's none other than the Son of God. These people were dealing with the Son of God. And mark it tonight, as I've already said, before you leave this meeting, you will deal with the Son of God. Who was he? He was the Son of God. What did he do? Well, in Acts chapter 10 and the verse 38, it says that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. He wants to do you good tonight. Another reference to our week with the boys and girls. We had one night when we spoke on, believe it or not, the sweetie counter. And we talked about different bars of chocolate. And we ended up by, you would have needed to have been there, I suppose, but we ended up by teaching the boys and girls the verse of Scripture in the book of Psalms, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. We are pleading with you tonight that you would put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you're an adult or a young person or a child in this meeting tonight, we are pleading with you that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. You will find that everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ went, he was giving all the time. He gave sight to the blind, cleansing to the leper, peace to the widow, food to the starving, life to the dead. Yes, he's the Son of God, and yes, he's giving all the time. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him at all." So he's faultless. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, it says, "For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners." He was faultless. He was harmless. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 5, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Faultless, harmless, sinless. Remember that the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 19 that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's spotless. He's sinless. He's harmless. He's the faultless Son of God. And even the dying thief on the cross, he looked across at the other thief and he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Crimeless, sinless, harmless, spotless, faultless Son of God. And that's the man that the people in the judgment hall on that day rejected and accepted the robber instead. Just let's take a few moments, and with this we're through, and look at the other character. The man chosen by the crowd. The man chosen by the crowd, and we already know that he is a robber. And can you see the contrast? The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the giver. Barabbas, he's the robber. He's the thief. He's the taker. The Bible tells us in Mark 15 and verse 7, he was also a rebel. The Bible tells us that he disturbed the peace. The Lord Jesus Christ came to bring us peace. Barabbas and his ilk would disturb the peace. If we look at Acts chapter 3 and the verse 14, we discover that he was also a murderer. What a choice it was to make that day. A rebel, a robber, and a murderer. That was your choice on that day. And you rejected the Redeemer. In Acts chapter 3 and the verse 14, this is what Peter said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life." The Lord Jesus Christ will give you life. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Back to how we started the week. When Philip was leading the choruses, and it came to his mind when he told the boys and girls just during the singing of the choruses that the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life. Mom and Dad, the Lord Jesus Christ can and will change your life if you allow him. Young people, the Lord Jesus Christ can and will change your life. We're thinking about that crowd that day. We're thinking about their appalling choice. But just let's stop for a moment. We're perhaps sitting here in the comfort of Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church. We're listening to this narrative of the choice that the people made that day. We'll just stop for a moment and we'll ask ourselves the question, well, if we had been there that day, what would you have done? What would I have done? What would we have done? What do we think of the choice that the crowd made that day? Their cry, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, before we come down hard on them, tell me, what have you done with this choice that has more than likely been presented to you on many an occasion and is presented to you yet again this evening? Not this man. What's your choice going to be? The Redeemer or the robber? You'll notice that after the choice had been made that day, not this man, but Barabbas, immediately after this cry of that crowd, on that day, they took the Lord Jesus Christ outside of the city. And there they crucified him. There he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins, that we might be redeemed. The crimeless, the sinless, the harmless, the spotless, the faultless Son of God, the Holy One dying upon the cross, that you and I might be redeemed. The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I would very much guess that that's not the first time you've heard that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. If tonight you're still outside of Christ, well, he came into the world that you might be redeemed. What will your answer be tonight? Is it to be the robber, or is it to be the Redeemer? We think of the question that was asked in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 13. And with this we close. We've been thinking of choices. Tonight, again, you're presented with the choice. To be saved, or perhaps for yet another time, go out and reject Christ. Be careful, because the Scripture teaches us that my spirit will not always strive with man. And so we close with the words of Joshua chapter 4, or Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 13. Choose you. You have a choice to make. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Joshua finished asking that question by saying this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Parents, would that be the prayer of your heart tonight? "But as for me, I've sent my kids along to the Youth Challenge Week. And now I've been brought to the place where I know that I need to make a choice. You've a family that you're bringing up. You've boys and girls in your home. In this wicked, sinful day and age, is it going to be the prayer of your heart? But as for me," that's personal, "and my house, we will serve the Lord." The doors of this church were opened this evening that you might be presented with the gospel. You've been presented with a choice tonight. We're simply going to close by asking, what will your answer be? We trust that you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know the truth of the Scripture. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. May the Lord bless you. Thank you very much.